T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hour number 2, Late Night, right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Still, normally at this point in the show, at 11 o'clock, you know, getting out of here at 2, been working all day and, you know, worked last night, I start looking forward to going home. And still, I don't know exactly how I'm going to pull that off tonight. To start the show, I told this, so I'll say it again, and maybe somebody else is out there that knows somebody that can help me. But on the way in here tonight, just before I got to the station, somebody nearly ran me off the road, so I had to swerve my car to the left, and that caused me to hit a curb, and I blew out 2 of my tires. And I don't happen to have a spare. And even if I had the spare, I wouldn't have 2. So now I need to find some sort of mobile tire guy that is capable of coming to the station. I'll pay you all the money you want. I don't care if you can fix my tires or sell me 2 new tires, but I need somebody to get me back to New Hampshire tonight. I don't want to call AAA and deal with that. I want somebody to come here and sell me tires, fix my tires, whatever. I'll pay you an obscene amount of money for coming out late and make sure that I can get home. That's all. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But it is Sports Radio. WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And really, we started the show today, and we'll get back to this coming up here in a few minutes as well. Really, you know, looking at this Celtics team and looking at what, in my opinion, is this problem that has permeated the entire organization. There's a serious lack of accountability. And it starts with Wick and goes all the way down through Danny Ainge and eventually down to Brad Stevens and even the assistant coaches. There's no accountability whatsoever. If you listen to the various radio and television interviews with Wick Grosbeck, with Steve Pagliuca, with team president Rich Gotham, all they do is sing the praises of Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. They talk about these guys being here for as long as Red Auerbach was. That's what Wick Grosbeck said. That's what he wants from these guys. And while in theory that's all well and good, I feel like there needs to be a healthy amount of fear in every organization. There has to be a healthy amount of skepticism in every organization. At some point here, these guys have to fear for their job just a little bit. But Danny Ainge, he's far too comfortable in his job, and there is a real, real, real scenario in play this year where this team is going to bow out in the second round of the playoffs. They're going to lose to Milwaukee in round 2. And if that does happen, and you couple that with Kyrie Irving leaving and getting nothing in return for him because you, Danny Ainge, did not have your finger on the pulse of what Kyrie Irving was going to do, those two offenses right there, in a lot of organizations, that would be fireable. There would be serious hell to pay if another organization took 2 steps back like that. And make no mistake about it, losing Kyrie Irving for nothing because of the cap situation that the Celtics are in is a monumental failure that has the potential to set this franchise back by many years. You don't get to reallocate that money elsewhere. It would be one thing if you didn't sign Kyrie, but you could take that max money and give it to Kemba Walker or somebody else. You can't do that. That's not how it works in the NBA. The Celtics are over the cap. But when you have that player and he's under contract, he's not only a great player for you, he's an incredible trade asset because it allows you to remain over the cap and potentially trade the guy for another player that makes relatively the same salary. It provides you with just an obscene amount of flexibility and options that you don't have the moment that guy leaves. And if these two scenarios do play out, the scenario in which the Celtics have already failed in the regular season. They were supposed to win 60-plus games. That didn't happen. They were supposed to be the best team in the East. That did not happen. So the regular season is already considered a fail when you hold it up against what the expectations were. Now in the playoffs, this team was supposed to go to the NBA Finals. That was the expectation of Las Vegas. Las Vegas does not make the money that it makes by being wrong. Vegas said the Celtics were going to the finals. There's serious doubt that this team is going to make it out of round two. So now if you couple the regular season failure with an eventual demise in round two, and then finally the cherry on top of that sundae would be Kyrie Irving leaving and getting nothing in return for him because Danny Ainge didn't know what his intentions were. All of those things combined, in a lot of organizations, that would cause the general manager to lose their job. And here in Boston, I am not advocating the loss right then and there of his job. But what I am saying is this. Danny Ainge should be fearing for his job if all those things happen, shouldn't he? Shouldn't Danny Ainge feel some inherent sort of trepidation and fear at that point that maybe, just maybe, this sweet gig that he has here is not going to be here forever? Because one championship in 18 years really doesn't get it done. And if you lose Kyrie Irving, you take another step back from your next championship. You know, at some point here, there's got to be some accountability. And then with Larry Bird in the building here the last couple of days, I'm thinking to myself, he has a very minor role right now within the Pacers organization. He's just a consultant. Would Celtics fans be interested in swapping out Danny Ainge for Larry Bird? Is there any desire to bring Larry Bird back to the Boston Celtics organization as the president of basketball operations? Because he is 68 years old. So if you're going to do it, you got to do it sometime soon here. If Larry is ever going to make an impact on the Celtics ever again while he's alive, it's got to happen soon. And last week we had on the Pacers play-by-play TV guy here. And he was funny because I asked him about Larry Bird being in the building and, you know, how it's kind of weird because he's there representing the Pacers, but we love him here in Boston. He gets a rousing standing ovation. And you know what he said? He said, Larry's ours. Larry's ours now. You had him a long time ago. Larry Bird is ours. He won his coach of the year with us. He won his executive of the year with us. He belongs to Indiana. That's what he said. And that really got me thinking. Do we want, you know, when Larry Bird is all done in the NBA and he retires for good and he has no role left in the NBA, do we want him to be still a member of the Indiana Pacers? Do we want him to retire, you know, and the last thing that he does in the NBA is something that he does for the Pacers? Or is there a scenario in play where, you know what, Larry comes back to Boston, he takes over for Danny Ainge, and, you know, if anything else here, it provides a different voice here in Boston. Danny's been doing this here for a very long time. He's done a very good job. But at some point here, one championship in 18 years, and now this year with the monumental step back in the regular season, if this team bows out in the second round and you lose Kyrie Irving for nothing, that is three monumental failures on top of one another. Somebody has to be held accountable. I mean, this is the real world, isn't it? If this was your job or my job and you had three failures of that sort of stature and that sort of nature, guess what? You get fired. You would get fired from a real job if you had three monumental fails happen back to back to back just like that. So it is Sports Radio WEI. Let's grab some more calls here. Let's go to Kelly. Kelly's in Amherst. Kelly, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening, Kelly?
Yeah, so there was a little argument a minute ago, and I got to say about Jaylen Brown. And I got to say, man, I'm totally on your side on that one. To be perfectly honest, just my own Jaylen Brown thoughts is I did call the station, you know, months ago, and I was like, Jaylen Brown is terrible. They should throw him in the ocean. You know, I was like, I don't even want to see him on the team. And he got a lot better since then. And so, like, you know, he's definitely not bad right now. But here's two explanations for why that stat is, you know, why the dude from Rhode Island is reading the whole thing wrong. So, for one thing, what was your take? What did you say about Brad Stevens? You said Jaylen Brown, he's got to be getting these rebounds, blah, blah, blah. That's where he's going to be getting a lot of his opportunities for touching. So when the dude was screaming over and over and over, he can't get a touch and they don't pass to him, actually he can. It's what you literally just said. He's going to get rebounds and putbacks. And so when you're standing right under the basket, you catch a rebound, you put it back up, yeah, that's a pretty high percentage shot. And then the other kind of high percentage shot he's getting is, much like other guys in the past, when Rondo was on the team and Rondo would kind of freeze people out and or he would only pass you the ball at the very last second when you were right in a position to make a shot. So in other words, while Gordon Hayward and for whatever reason Marcus Morris are getting the ball more kind of in the flow of offense and pass it to somebody else sometimes, Jaylen Brown, they go, here, Jaylen Brown, pass it. And that's what he does. And so that's why that stat doesn't really make any sense to prove the point he was trying to make. I do think Jaylen Brown has been a little more passive, and I'm fine with it. I think there's other guys that are better. So,
well, Jalen's developed some bad habits here too, where, you know, he's too comfortable sort of running down the floor on the offensive end and standing behind the 3-point line in the corner and waiting for the ball. That, you know, that's something that, you know, maybe 10 years from now, when he's a veteran that can't get up and down the floor anymore, maybe that's what he should do. But right now, what made Jaylen Brown special last year was his ability to get the ball in the wing and explode to the basket, create contact, get to the free throw line, and that eventually set up his outside shot. This year, he's looking to hit his outside shot to develop his inside game, and he's doing it all wrong. It's backwards. So, to me, Jaylen Brown has to be held accountable here, too. You know, Jason Tatum got off to a pretty rough start this year as well, but he's corrected that, and he's become much more efficient over the last couple of months, because when he gets the ball, he makes a quick decision. You know, he doesn't sit there, it isn't stagnant in his hands. I feel like when Jaylen Brown gets the ball, a lot of times there's question, there's indecision, and the whole offense becomes stagnant as they wait for Jaylen Brown to decide what he's going to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. I don't want to rag on Jaylen. Like I said, I did that before, but, you know, he's doing all right. But I do, you know, you mentioned Tatum. Tatum is looking so sharp right now. And while I will say I hated that sequence in the game, was it last night, where it was like over and over, all it was freaking Kyrie and then Tatum, and they would just charge at the basket with no plan and then get, like, you know, blocked, like, over and over and over again. I was like, this is so stupid. But once it got towards the end of the game and Indiana kept crapping the bed, man, they looked so poised. And what I really felt, in my final thought, I really felt like we saw the beginning of the Big Three era, and it was in the last couple minutes of that Indiana game when Hayward, Tatum, and Kyrie were just moving that ball around between each other, and it's like nobody else was even there. It was a beautiful thing.
Listen, man, I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff. And, you know, that was the intent. That was the goal. That was what this team was supposed to be. That's what they were supposed to do. You know, when they first got those three together, and you know, they had Al Horford here, they trade for Kyrie Irving, they signed Gordon Hayward in the offseason. That was supposed to be their big three, and they were going to fill in with the younger players in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And the goal was, as those guys matured, the big three here, at least two out of the big three, in Kyrie Irving and in Gordon Hayward, when the Celtics signed them, they were in their mid-20s. So you'd think to yourself, okay, 3 years from now, they'll be 28, 29 years old, and Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum will be in year three, year four. And at that point, that's when you're explosively great. That's when you're dominant. That's when nobody can mess with you, because you've still got guys literally with many years of their prime of their careers left in your big three, with the exception of Al Horford, who, you know, he's kind of an ageless wonder. So even at 34, 35 years old, I feel like Horford will give you 85% of what he is right now. And what you need from Horford is elite defense, some rebounding. And you know what? He's a decent offensive player, but you don't require Al Horford to give you 20 points a night to win. Al Horford gave you 4 points last night, and he was great. He was great in his limited minutes, limited opportunities out there because of the illness. 4 points does not tell the story of the contributions he got from Horford last night. That's what makes Horford so special, and I firmly believe he can still be that player in a couple of years. So when you talk about the Celtics' big three, that's what Danny Ainge envisioned, that's what Brad Stevens envisioned, but because of the injuries to both to Gordon Hayward and even Kyrie Irving last year, that never really developed, it never really materialized. This year, same thing. There was so much in and out of the lineup for these guys. And, of course, Gordon Hayward took him all season to start to look like himself once again. And he's still not all the way back. But at least now we see that the potential is there for him to get all the way back next year. He's getting pretty close. He's getting closer and closer with each and every day, each and every game. So we've seen flashes here in the playoffs of that big three and of what Danny Ainge envisioned when he put those three players together. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll talk to Josue Pavone from WEI.com. He's in Indy right now. He was at practice today. We'll get the latest from Celtics practice as they get ready and prepare themselves for a critical Game 3 coming up in Indianapolis tomorrow night. The Celtics, they will look to take a 3-0 lead in this series and essentially, for all intents and purposes, bury the Indiana Pacers. We'll get the latest from Josue when we come back right here on Sports Radio, WEI.
25 years of Red Sox baseball on Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
So the Bruins and Maple Leafs, they're all tied up at 2 games apiece. The series will return to Boston tomorrow night for Game 5 at 7 o'clock. The Celtics, they lead the Pacers 2 games to zip. The series now shifts to Indy for Game 3 tomorrow night. The Red Sox, they had the day off today, and you know, that's a good thing. At least they didn't lose. They dropped both their games in New York this week to the Yankees. The last place Red Sox and first place Rays, they will begin a three-game series tomorrow night in Tampa. Joe Castiglione and Mario Impemba, they've got the call right here on Sports Radio WEI, and we now know officially that Dustin Pedroia, he will not take part in that series at all. Today, he was placed on the 10-day injured list, suffering from discomfort in that surgically repaired knee. Rob Gronkowski, he left a dent. This is a crazy story, and there's video of it online. I implore people to watch this video. He left a dent in the Patriots' latest Lombardi Trophy. Gronk, he used the trophy as a bat. Unbelievable. While he was at Fenway last week for the Red Sox home opener, he used the Lombardi as a bat. And it's looking like increasingly likely that video of Robert Kraft at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa is going to come out one way or another. Reports today from a story from ESPN suggest that a member inside the Florida Police Department has attempted to sell the video to at least one news outlet. My name is Patrick Gilroy, and that's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Patrick Gilroy rocks late night now on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you, as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Really spent the first hour plus of the program tonight taking a deeper look at really what this Celtics team is right now and what they're supposed to be versus where they are. And that's my overwhelming sort of point here, is that at some point, and again, I hate to be negative when it comes to what hasn't happened yet, but this team was projected to win 60 games. They won 49. This team was projected to go to the NBA Finals, and I feel like once they get to round two versus Milwaukee, they'll be the heavy underdogs. Milwaukee's going to have home court, and you're going to hear a lot of people like Jerry and Glenn picking the Bucks in five or six games. So if the Celtics are to lose to the Bucks in round two, now that's two fails on this regular season. And then finally, if you put the cherry on that sundae, and that cherry being that, you know, 2 months later, after they bow out to the Bucks in round two, Kyrie Irving bolts, he goes to New York, he goes to L.A., and he's gone, and you got nothing for him because Danny Ainge, as the president of basketball operations, as the general manager, he had no idea what Kyrie's intentions were. He didn't know, he didn't have his finger on the pulse of what Kyrie's true intentions were going to be. That's three franchise-altering failures in one season, if you're Danny Ainge. And it seems to me, every time I hear Wick, every time I hear Steve Pagliuca, every time I hear Rich Gotham, they're talking about Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens as guys that will have lifetime contracts. They talk about them in the same breath as Red Auerbach. They want them here forever. And I feel like in any job on earth, having that much job security is not a good thing. You know, these guys have to fear have some inherent sense of fear. They have to fear for their jobs. And I'll tell you what, if any other NBA general manager had three fails stack up in the same season, like what I just mentioned about Danny Ainge, they would probably most likely be out on their ass looking for a new job. And that's my point here. Now, Danny Ainge, he doesn't have to worry about that because he knows, Wick has told him time and time again, he doesn't have to sweat this stuff. But here he is in year 18 here in Boston. He's won one championship. You know, for a city that, and for an organization where all we talk about is championships, you know, Danny got here, he ripped apart a team that had just gone to the conference finals the year before, and then Danny Ainge, just a couple of years ago, took a team that went to the conference finals and tore that team apart, getting rid of 11 out of 15 players. You know, so Danny Ainge, by the evidence, by his moves, tells us that he doesn't think being a Final Four team is worth it here in Boston when it's all about winning championships. But you've won one in 18 years, and you're on the precipice here of having a historically steep fall from where this team was supposed to be this year. And there's going to be zero accountability, and I think that is my overwhelming problem. But it is Sports Radio WEI joining me on the line right now, live from Indy, WEI.com's Josue Pavone. Josue, you know, I felt like for a minute here that I did something to piss you off, that you and I, you know, we had problems here. I thought we had a bond. We had a great podcast going together. And then all of a sudden, I text you. You want to come in? You want to work? I'm sick, Pat. I can't make it, and I'm here. I'm there. I'm traveling.
Oh, come on, man.
Man, you are worse than that girl that's trying to let you down easy, man. Let me tell you.
You say I'm trying to ghost you? That's what you're saying? I'm ghosting you? I'm answering your text like 7 hours later or whatnot?
Exactly. Exactly. It's been a long time since I've been ghosted. I've been married for 13 years, brother, you know? Sometimes I wish my wife would ghost me, you know what I mean?
Oh, so I'm bringing back bad memories.
Exactly. So you're in Indy.
I was sick, man. My bad. It's all good.
I hope you're feeling better. And look, the Celtics, they won the first two games in this series. And, you know, as a Celtics fan, forgetting the Celtics reporter side of you, as a Celtics fan, that's got to make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, this team, I still think, you know, we talk about the Bucks and, you know, what can happen after that. But, I mean, let's take it one game at a time with these guys. You know, it's sort of been the story throughout the regular season where we're always looking ahead, too far ahead. And let's look at what's in front of us. You know, I think we got to be happy with what we're seeing out of Kyrie Irving, of course. It starts there. We've got to be happy with what we're seeing out of Jason Tatum, who not only scored those 6 points in those final couple of minutes in game two, but also made a great play, a great pass to Gordon Hayward down low. You asked me 3 months ago, I don't think Jason Tatum would have made that play. I think he pulled up for a three. So, I mean, there's a lot of encouraging signs for this team moving forward. But like I said, let's take it one game at a time. I know you're talking about pretty much the offseason. I don't know. I kind of tail end of that. But people are already talking about what's going to happen afterwards, what's going to happen with Kyrie. And I'm like, listen, let's just take this thing one game at a time. Let's see how this series pans out. I do think the Celtics have a chance, a golden opportunity here to sweep this team, which I think would be humongous for this squad heading into a potential series against the Bucks. So let's see what happens.
Well, what you probably didn't hear today because you were in Indy or headed to Indy was last night on Late Night. I had essentially said that you know, the Celtics, while their offense still has a long way to go, I was encouraged through the first two games of this series because statistically, through the first two games, they were the best defensive team in basketball. And I was seeing a lot of the same hallmarks that were reminiscent of Brad Stevens' teams from years past. This team clearly has made a commitment on the defensive end through the first two games of the playoffs. So that lended me to have some sort of optimism that I didn't necessarily have going into the playoffs because I feel like the offense is going to come eventually. There's plenty of offensive talent on this team. Indy was the best defensive team in basketball throughout the regular season. Plus, it's not just the fact that they can defend. It's the way that they defend. They make you uncomfortable. They play some bully ball. So your offense is not going to look smooth and natural against a team like Indy anyways. You know what I mean? So I was feeling pretty good, feeling pretty optimistic that the Celtics had finally, for the first time, I think, all season, committed to the defensive end and were able to defend for a full 48 minutes in back-to-back games. I challenge you to go back throughout this season and find me two games back-to-back where the Celtics committed 100% defensively and bought in for a full 48 minutes in back-to-back games. I don't think it happened this year, Josue.
No, I have to agree with you. You'd be hard-pressed. And you'd also be hard-pressed to find back-to-back games where you saw Kyrie Irving leading the charge of the defensive end. I mean, we know, we've seen it time and time again on the offensive side, but defensively, where did this come from, Patrick? I mean, granted, this is an Oladipo-less Pacers team we're talking about, but nonetheless, he's putting forth the kind of effort, the reason why people call him Kyrie or playoff Kyrie, and when people talk about his offense, that's essentially the narrative. But defensively, I mean, he's been the head of the snake, and that's, again, another encouraging sign for this team, and also the third quarter. You know, we saw a slow start in the game two, but we saw how they responded to that. But in game one, we saw how tremendous they were offensively on defense, and then you saw the same thing on offense, I should say, in that third quarter. And I think that's another positive sign for this team. The third quarter has been a rough story for the Celtics team, especially consistently. Now, we'll have to see how this translates on the road. I did have a chance to ask Kyrie about that, and I appreciate you and Bridget. Actually, Bridget played the question yesterday. I tuned in late night last night, where he's not going to get ahead of himself and say the team has essentially found this new way to focus in the second half or essentially throughout the entire 48 minutes. What he is going to say, though, is let's do it on the road. Can we do this on the road? Because, of course, as you know, Patrick, they're not going to have home court advantage and a potential series against the Bucks. This is it. So that's so important for this team to be able to
put together these kind of performances on the road. And it starts in Indy. And I'm telling you, Patrick, I feel like I'm in the minority here, but I think they do have a really good opportunity here to sweep the team. And I think it could happen. The series could wrap up here this weekend, Easter Sunday afternoon. I think the Phillies have a really good chance at it. But of course, it's all about game three.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy here on Late Night. Joining me on the line right now from WEI.com, it's Josue Pavone. And Josue, you've been in that locker room after game one and after game two. You've been in both locker rooms, I assume, after game one and game two. So tell me, following game two, a game really where Indy could feel the win, they could taste that win. You know, they were up 12 in the fourth quarter, and they were playing relatively well. Yeah, they knew what they had to do, and they had multiple opportunities to sort of put the Celtics away. What was the feeling in Indy's locker room following game two? Do they feel like they let one slip away?
Believe it or not, Patrick, they're very optimistic. You know, the game one narrative was, oh, you know, hey, that third quarter had happened. Hey, we got a bunch of open shots, and that's not going to happen again. And then after game two, it was just like, hey, late game execution. It's almost as if in their mind, it's like, okay, well, yeah, if Wesley Matthews doesn't throw the ball away the way he did in the 12 seconds left in the game in that huge possession, then they could have had a shot to win the game. I mean, these guys are still very confident, which I'm sort of impressed for a team that's relatively young, playing without his best player and looking very confident heading into game three. It was a bit of a surprise, whereas the Celtics, obviously, as you can imagine, they're in great spirits after the game. The locker room is very positive, a lot of laughs, a lot of family time. I love that Kyrie brought that up. You know, everyone's in a really good mood. It's very comfortable when you have home court and you can feel the vibe is just completely different, and especially for someone like Kyrie Irving, who's never been in a playoff atmosphere at TD Garden as a member of the Boston Celtics. So I do think that he's realizing that this is going to go away really quickly here. This team has to continue to stay focused and has to continue to play the way they've been playing in game one and two and have that same mindset and same execution in game three and four against the Pacers.
Josue, what can we expect to be different about the Pacers now that they're playing, you know, in the comfortable confines of their own home?
I think it's about protecting leads. You know, I think they're destined to grab a 10, 11-point lead. I mean, we saw it in game one and two. You know, I think that's going to happen again. The Celtics are going to have to bounce back. And then this is when they have to show that they are one of the better defensive teams in the league, which has been their MO all year long. This team can defend at a very high level. Miles Turner did put together a very good third quarter, but he hasn't found that consistency that we've seen throughout the regular season. I mean, he anchors that defense, you know, he's sort of like the Al Horford for this team. And he has to come up with those big stops. I think when you look at the way things played out in that fourth quarter for the Celtics, a lot of takes to the rim, a lot of easy twos, layups for the Celtics. And that's something that Miles Turner has to get in there and make a difference on the defensive end. You know, offensively, they have a couple of guys. They have weapons. They have Bogdanovich. You know, he's been huge for this team. He's been a guy that can essentially get going, put points together in bunches. He's not a guy who can put the team on his back and, you know, drop 13, whatever, or 14 points in one quarter. But he is essentially a guy that can hit a couple of, you know, back-to-back threes. He can put the ball on the floor, which opens up opportunities for guys around the perimeter. These guys can shoot. You know, they sort of live and die by the three. They sort of have that identity offensively. And if they get going, if they get hot, they have to do a better job of protecting the lead. And I think that has to be essentially the most important thing, along with, of course, the transition defense. That was big for the Pacers throughout the course of the regular season. And also the Celtics, you know, when you have someone like Al Horford who came up with a huge stop in the end of game two that really jump-started the fast break, really got the opportunities for the Celtics that they needed. You know, that's how the Pacers need to keep up with the Celtics. They need to make sure that they can slow them down.
So at this point, one of the biggest knocks I've sort of had on the Celtics through the first two games of this series, Josue, has been, I don't want to call it lazy, but their inability to hold on to the basketball. They've been a little sort of laissez-faire with the basketball, especially throwing cross-court passes, not really paying attention, and the Pacers are getting out in front and picking the ball off, leading to transition baskets, transition opportunities for the Pacers. What do the Celtics have to do to finally clean that up? Because that has been the one fatal flaw in both games one and games two in this series.
I think it's been a little, I know this sounds kind of crazy to say, but it's almost like a little too, like overpassing for this team. You know, it's almost as if like, it's like, oh no, you take the shot. Oh no, I insist you take it. And it's like, okay, we have to see this team sort of pick their spots here. And that's exactly what we saw in those last couple of minutes of game two, you know, and believe it or not, it wasn't even Kyrie Irving who put the team on his back. Kyrie Irving essentially got them there. But in the last 2 minutes, it was Jason Tatum. It was Gordon Hayward. It was Al Horford. You know, it was other guys, other people who could put the ball on the floor, can score the kind of scores that Indiana doesn't necessarily have, minus a couple of guys. So I think when certain particular players get their touches, especially Gordon Hayward, I do think he's going to have a huge game in Indiana, whether it's game three or four. Not to say that he needs to be more selfish, but he needs to pick his spots where he says, okay, this is my time to sort of take matters into my own hands and essentially put together stretches where the Celtics can sort of piggyback on that. And whether it's him, whether it's Tatum, whoever has the hot hand, you know, I just feel like it was a little too much overpassing in the sense that the Pacers have studied this team. They, of course, played them twice in 2 weeks, the final 2 weeks of the regular season. You know, it's game three, but it almost feels like it's game five, right, Patrick? You know, these two teams have been going at it for quite some time here. So they're getting very familiar. And for a defensive team like the Pacers, I mean, they pick up on what the Celtics are putting down.
I know you don't want to get too far ahead here, but before you get out of here, one of the conversations we've been having sort of all night tonight, it's more of a general conversation, Joe Sway, and you know, you're a pretty level-headed guy, so I'd be curious to sort of see where you fall on this. Look, there is a scenario in play, in my mind anyways, where when you look at the expectations that this Celtics team had going into the season, Vegas had them pegged at 60 wins, and they had them pegged to go to the NBA Finals. They won 49 games. That is 11 short of 60. That is a significant drop-off from where they were supposed to be. And again, when I talk about Vegas, you know, Vegas makes its money by being right most of the time. So these aren't outlandish predictions by Las Vegas. So that's one fail so far this season. The second fail was they're supposed to get to the NBA Finals. That's what Las Vegas said. Let's assume that they lose to the Bucks. And then let's take it a step further and assume that Kyrie Irving bolts and he goes to New York, he goes to Los Angeles, but the Celtics lose Kyrie and they don't get anything in return for him. At some point here, with not one, not two, but three failures like that inside of a four-month period, a three-month period of time, in any other organization in the NBA, wouldn't heads roll? Wouldn't somebody get fired?
For this Celtics team, honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if it didn't happen, Patrick.
But I'm talking, I asked you a very specific question. With other teams in other cities, other organizations, if those three types of fails happened back to back to back, would heads roll?
Especially in the NBA.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So what makes it different here in Boston?
Danny Ainge's track record. I mean, you look at what he did, the Isaiah thing, you know, I think that really gave him some extra job security, maybe not 30 or 20 year or lifetime, like you said before I got on the phone here. But I mean, essentially, that was something that no one saw coming. That was something that he jumped on right away. You remember initially there was a report saying that, oh, well, the Celtics are just, they're going to keep in contact with the Cavs and let them know that, you know, whatever kind of secondary deal that they need to execute, they'll be there for them. And then all of a sudden, boom, Kyrie Irving was a Celtic. You know, that's something that no one could have foreseen. And that was something that obviously Danny Ainge saw coming, in the sense that, okay, this is my chance to dump off Isaiah Thomas while we know he's more banged up than everyone else does, and grab someone like Kyrie Irving. So I think that sort of bought him an extra, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I don't think he loses his job here. And if we're talking about someone like Brad Stevens, I mean, if we're talking about if Kyrie Irving has the leverage and he's still on, you know, on the fence, I would definitely see him getting fired, Brad Stevens getting fired. But if you're talking about a scenario where Kyrie Irving has already made a decision, he leaves Boston, I mean, I don't see the Celtics thinking to themselves, okay, well, we have to get rid of Brad too. You know, I do think that that's a realistic possibility, though. If Kyrie Irving, if this Celtics team falls to the Bucks and Kyrie Irving is on the fence and he's not too crazy about Brad Stevens, then listen, this is something, I don't know if I've talked to you about it, but that's something that I've always thought is kind of iffy when it comes to Kyrie Irving. He did, when he was back into a corner, into a question, he did give him some praise. Well, let's face it, Patrick, he doesn't give Brad Stevens enough praise or at all any praise throughout this entire Celtics his time in Boston.
No, when he sits down with Kyrie Irving come July 1st, if Kyrie says, look, Danny, I'll sign the 5 years, I'll be your franchise cornerstone, I want to be here, but I'm not playing for Brad.
See you later, Brad.
Look, Kyrie, yeah. I hate to say it, but Kyrie, he wants to play for Jason Kidd. He wants to play for Mark Jackson. He wants to play for one of these players, coaches that are available out there.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I would see that. But yeah, if we're talking about a scenario where he already made his decision and he goes to New York or wherever else, I don't see that happening. But yeah, if that does happen against the Bucks, and if Kyrie says, look, I want this team to go into a different direction, yeah, I think you see Brad Stevens coach elsewhere. He'll probably get a job somewhere else.
And, you know, my only point here before you get out of here is this. You know, I've been covering this team. This is year 19 of doing radio in this city. So I've been here basically since moment one that Danny Ainge got here. And there's been one consistent sort of theme in each and every offseason, and it's going to be here again this year, Joe Sway. The Celtics have three, possibly four. We'll see when the lottery plays out, first-round picks this year. There's no way in hell that this team can bring four more players that are 20 years old, 19 years old, 21 years old, onto this roster and develop those players. They're having a hard time right now developing their own young players. All that being said, those four players, those four draft picks are more Danny Ainge assets, more chips, and I am so sick of using assets, chips, player development. At some point here, all of these chips and assets we've talked about for almost two decades have to translate into championships. So far, it's only worked one time. That's my point.
Yeah, it's a solid one. You know, if that does happen, I mean, maybe he keeps one of those picks, but you have to think that Danny's going all out and he's selling, you know, come the offseason. And that's going to ultimately decide what Kyrie Irving wants to do, because I think whether the Celtics make it to the finals or not, Kyrie Irving wants another partner here. He wants another all-star, another superstar. I think that's the leverage that he's going to dangle in front of the Celtics organization and say, look, if I'm going to stick around here, I need another guy, or I need another promise that we can actually do this within the next couple of years, because I'm not getting any younger. My body's not getting any younger. His body is much older than his actual age, if you ask me. And I think that's a conversation that's going to happen one way or another, regardless if the Celtics make it to the finals or if they bounce out against the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right, Joe Sway, man, I appreciate you staying up late with me here tonight. Have fun tomorrow night, and hopefully next time you and I talk, it won't be 3 months from now. All right, don't do that again. There you go.
We'll get a date together soon, bro. Don't worry,
man. There you go.
Here,
read his stuff on WEI.com. It's Joe Sway Pavone. He's live in Indy right now, so he'll continue to update us tomorrow. The Celtics have their morning shoot-around. I'm sure Joe Sway will update something then. So check back early and often on WEI.com for the latest from the Celtics in Indy with Game 3 tomorrow night from Joe Sway Pavone. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls right here on Sports Radio WEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Talk all Boston sports with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
So it is Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy here. And I got to say, the first couple hours of late night here have been really surprising to me. And I got to tell you, I'm pleasantly surprised, because I feel like one of the problems we have here in Boston, or at least the perceived issues, is that when it comes to the Celtics, you know, we heard Glenn talk about this today. We heard Jerry talk about this today, that, you know, we're all a bunch of happy-go-lucky green teamers, and no matter what this team does or does not do, Celtics fans are just going to be pleased. And I don't think that's the case at all. At all. I think that there's a loud majority or a loud minority of sports fans out there that are always overly optimistic and always, you know, just happy to be there. But that doesn't necessarily represent how most of us feel. Put it this way, if you are listening or participating in late night here on WEEI, you know what I mean? If you're part of that crew and the people that tweet, the people that text, the people that call in, the people that, this group that we've sort of formed here over the last couple of years, then chances are you're a rabid enough sports fan and you care enough about your team to stay up late with me. And that, to me, speaks volumes about, you know, your dedication as a sports fan. And if you're going to be that dedicated, there's more to it than just, you know, being happy that these teams are there, happy that they're in the playoffs. No, that's not the case at all. You know, matter of fact, I think some of our best conversations that we've had together here over my first 2 years at EEI have been critical conversations and critical discussions about the Celtics, about the Red Sox, about the Patriots, about Tom Brady, about, you know, Paul Pierce, about Isaiah Thomas, about Kyrie Irving. It's those types of conversations that I think really help get people engaged and that I have the most fun having. But that doesn't mean that I am going to always be ultra negative, because then I'd be guilty of being a fraud like Felger. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that always finds the negative in everything. No, that doesn't mean, just because I don't always turn and find the negative and extract the negative from a game or from a conversation or from a situation, that doesn't mean that that negative doesn't exist. It just means that I've chosen to highlight something else on that particular night. But there are different scenarios in play where it's unavoidable. And in those situations, you've got no choice. We've got to talk about it. And whether you're a fan of that team or not, we are going to talk about it here. Because that's what we do here on Late Night. And the beauty of Late Night is that unlike the other shows where they cut you off in 30 seconds, I feel like we've got to know each other a lot better because we've had a dialogue. We have 4 or 5 minute conversations with each other. And I respect your opinions and you respect mine. And when it comes to this Celtics team, you may not agree with me that I feel like Danny Ainge is inching ever closer to potentially being on the hot seat. And if he isn't inching closer to that hot seat, he should be. You know, the Celtics ownership here has to stand up at some point. You know, Danny Ainge and Steve Pagliuca and Wick Grosbeck, that leadership, that triumvirate, they've been great together. You know what I mean? They have been phenomenal. They seem to be on the same page. And what Steve Pagliuca and Wick Grosbeck want, Danny Ainge executes, and it trickles down to the head coach. And that symbiotic relationship is exactly what you want when you are putting together the structure of a team. I get all of that. But at some point here, Danny Ainge has got to be held accountable. Now, it's not Danny Ainge's fault that the Celtics are, that they won 49 games this year. It's not his fault that Gordon Hayward has taken a longer time to come back. But you could make the argument, and I'd listen to it, that Danny Ainge wildly overpaid for Gordon Hayward. And this has nothing to do with Hayward's injury. If you look at Gordon Hayward, the player that was coming out of Utah, is that player, and again, I watched a lot of him, I know how good he was, and I've told you guys all season long that he is much closer to Kobe Bryant than he is a Kyle Korver. And people don't agree, people don't understand, because people didn't watch him. They see a goofy white guy, and they think Kyle Korver, three-point shooter. That's not who he was, and that's not who we hope he will be. But you could certainly make the argument that Danny Ainge way overpaid for him. When you look at the Celtics cap situation, it ain't pretty. You know, especially if Al Horford opts in next year, and he will. He's got 2 years left. Both years are player options, and he's going to opt into them at $30-plus million a year. So when you look at the max contracts around the league, and we're sitting here talking about, you know, Kyrie Irving getting a max contract here with the Celtics, and we hope that he'll accept that max contract with the Celtics. There's only so many to go around, and the Celtics, they'll have 2 max contracts spoken for from Gordon Hayward and Al Horford. And when you look at those two players, both are very good basketball players. Both are fringy all-stars where on any given year, they can make an all-star team. But they're that second or even third tier of star in the NBA. You know, if that first tier is guys like LeBron James and Russell Westbrook, you know, Kevin Durant, that's your first tier. And then your second tier is guys like, you know, Kyrie Irving. Well, then your third tier has to be guys like Gordon Hayward and Al Horford. And you've got a huge percentage of your salary cap tied up in guys that would be considered third-tier players. And that, to me, that's another questionable decision by Danny Ainge. It really is. Now, you know, it may come to bear that at some point here, Gordon Hayward gets all the way back and he surprises us all and he elevates his game and the Celtics eventually reel off a championship. And if he does, then all of this has been worth it. But there is a real scenario in play where you've got all of this cap space tied up in one guy who is sort of injured goods, although I am encouraged at the way he's been playing. Another guy in Al Horford who's 32 years old, and he's been dealing with tendonitis in his knee all year, and he's going to opt in and cost the Celtics another $30 million next year. And then Kyrie Irving, a guy that, for as phenomenal as he is, he's a guy that isn't committed in the regular season. So there's still a lot of questions here that Danny Ainge has got his hands full when it comes to answering, and if he answers them incorrectly, firing the guy should not be off the table. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Late Night, 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Look, when we come back, we'll continue some of our Celtics stuff here. I do want to mix in some Robert Kraft stuff here because I do think that there's a scenario in play, a scenario that could potentially play out that is going to force Robert Kraft's hand to potentially sell the New England Patriots. We'll talk about that and more with you when we come back right here on Sports Radio, WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.